Okay, I assure you, I know what time it is. Okay, I'm looking right at the clock. It's right in front of me, and you're in front of me too. But that's discouraging. And I know, yeah, it's been a long day. I will not be long. I just want to leave us with a thought tonight that will help us as we think about reaching this world. As we spoke on this morning, we understood that what this world really needs, it sounds a little like I'm in a tin can, Bob, if you can help a little. We saw that this world really needs Jesus Christ. That is the one overbearing need that they have. That is the task that the Lord has left to us. Remember, the vehicle by which God gets the gospel to this world is Christians. He uses us. It's our responsibility, and it's what we need to do. As we think about doing that task, maybe one-on-one, it's a little more simplistic until you see how many people there are just in our area. And then you think about the plan that he gave us, get the gospel to the whole world. And so we think about that, and it's daunting, okay? It's like, wow, that's something that, can we really even do it? Can we make a dent in this world? Can we make a difference somewhere? Well, I feel we can. Although too often we feel too inadequate to do anything like that for the Lord. In our text, we see that Jesus is now at the point, as he is on this earth, that he's attracting big crowds. He's becoming, I guess for lack of a better word, famous. Not in that sense, but people are starting to know who he is. They're hearing about him. They're hearing about the things that he does. They come out because they heard of the miracles he is performing. Jesus sees that group that comes out and decides that he is going to now feed them. He speaks to his guys, his disciples, those who followed him, those who were with him for really 3 years, who will end up being with him for 3 years, and he lets them know his plan, and they realize they don't have enough to feed the group. Now, we always call it the feeding of the 5,000, but that's just the men, okay? There's probably more there. They did have a lad there, but he only had 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. Jesus then has them organize the crowd. He blesses the food and passes it out. And miraculously, it's enough to feed everybody with leftovers. Now, as I look at this story, I see it picturing more than just a crowd being fed. And that's really not the point of the story. It's part of the point, but he's trying to also point out a principle. It's more than just the fact that, hey, everybody had a good meal, and some of them got a doggy bag. It's more than that. I think Jesus is showing us here that he can do a lot with just a little. Amen. He can accomplish much with not very much. That should be an encouragement to us. Because you know what? Jesus still does that today. Still does that today. And as we look at the task in front of us, as we look at what he wants us to accomplish, whether it's in our individual lives, or whether it's as a church, or whether it's as a group to reach this world, we have to understand that even though we look at ourselves and like, we really don't have everything we need to accomplish everything that needs to be done because of Jesus Christ, we can get a lot more done than we think we can. You see, there is a limitless potential that must be realized with limited resources. How many people are in this world? Well over 7 billion. That's a lot of opportunity. That's a lot of potential. You know, it's all on how you look at it, right? You know, the story that we've given in the past about the guy that goes to Africa to sell shoes, and he comes back and says, that was a waste of time. People in Africa don't wear shoes. Why did I even go? And then another salesman gets sent, and he contacts the company and says, you better send me a lot more shoes. Nobody wears shoes here. They all need them. It's all in how we look at things. Okay, there is unlimited potential. we just go out on Tuesday night and we go knock on doors, the vast majority of the doors we're going to knock on, if not every one, is going to be somebody that does not know the Lord. Or if they do know him, they don't know him very well, and they're probably not plugged into a church and living a good, productive Christian life. So it's very limitless potential. But we have to understand that with his help, we can reach a vast group of people. We can do more than we ever thought we could. But if we're going to see that happen, there are four things we need to understand. First of all, we need to correctly identify the need. Correctly identify the need. Look at verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" See, Jesus saw this group of people, and he preached to them, and they're there to see him. But he saw past that and saw that actually, in this instance, they had a physical need. He didn't just see, like, wasn't that great today? Look at all these people out here. I mean, there's thousands of them. Wasn't this wonderful? They all came out to hear the word. Jesus is like, they need to eat. Some of them have a far trip, and it's not like they can just stop and go through McDonald's on the way home. That would be a good idea anyhow. But he's like, they need some. These people have a need. By the way, helping people starts with understanding they have a need. How often do we walk by people? How often do we work with people? How often do we associate with people on a daily basis, and we're friendly to them, and we talk with them, and we're kind to them, and not one time does a thought come through, does this person know Christ? What is going on there? Do you know, just because someone throws a smile at you when you're talking to them doesn't mean everything's going well in their life. Just because they drive a nice car doesn't mean everything is going well. Just because they own a big home doesn't mean they have a right kind of family. We've got to get past that, and we have to see that people have needs. And by the way, when Jesus saw people, that's kind of a prompting in his life to see that they needed a need and that he wanted to help them. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, the verses where it says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. It starts in verse 36 though, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep not having a shepherd. Why did he say the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few? Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. What motivated him to say that when he saw the crowd? And he didn't just see the crowd. He realized they had no spiritual leadership. They probably didn't know the gospel. They had no clue what was going on in life. And that prompted him to say, hey, let's pray that there's more laborers to reach these people. When Jesus saw the crowd, he saw the crowd, he saw their needs, and it moved him to compassion. In Matthew 14:14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion towards them. Are people an irritation to you? Okay, well, sometimes people just are. I get it. But do we see people, look, how often, and I'm guilty of it, do we drive by and we see someone begging, and it's like, why don't they move that person off the street? Why do they let them sit here and beg? And I'm not saying we're necessarily helping them if they're getting money for a drug habit or something. But I'm just saying, we look at them and we're like, that's an irritation, instead of, man, that's somebody that needs help. We're like that. You know why we get calloused? You know, people have stories. People need help. How do we look at them? Are you correctly identifying needs when you see people? Let's not get so caught up in our own world that we don't see the needs of the other people that live in this world. Do you know, we're not the only person that lives on this earth. Do you know that? You're not. The world doesn't revolve around you. The world does not revolve around me. Fact of the matter is, if you really want to find fulfillment in life, don't be selfish. Step outside of yourself to help somebody else. Even sometimes an unsaved person will get that. Now they'll fulfill that in the wrong way. They'll think by planting trees they're helping the planet. They're making a difference. No. I like trees. I like shade. I like all of it. But you're not saving the world by planting a tree. Okay? Saving the whale. I didn't know whales could get saved. To be honest, I've never witnessed to one. Okay? You know, their whole life is wrapped up in how dare you use a plastic straw? You're going to kill a turtle. Well, how else are you going to make turtle soup? Okay. By the way, a lot of that stuff is just nonsense. Can I say that? And why in the world would you think it's a good idea to use a paper straw? Do you know water's not good with paper? You know, I hadn't seen those in years. We were on vacation last year, and we were in one of these liberal cities up north. And we got a drink, and I got a paper straw, and I'm like, that just shot back to when I was a little kid. I remember as a little kid, we had those, and then we grew past that. I guess we're de-evolving, and we're going back. But man, after like 5 minutes into my drink, the straw's all limp and crookedy, and it's leaking. I'm like, what a really bad... But you know, they think that they're accomplishing something great in this world by getting people off of plastic straws. Listen, there is something great to help. It's helping people spiritually. Ask yourself, when's the last time you did something for somebody else? When is the last time you shared Jesus Christ with somebody else? Or even invited them to earth? Or invited them to earth, they're here. Invited them to church, okay? There are some people I think don't live on earth. Okay. Hey, you're awake now. I can go another 10 minutes, amen? It's amazing. If I say something true, you don't get it. But I say something dumb, it's like, hey, Dad, you said this. I'm like, did you hear anything else I said? No? Well, thank you. That's why I say something dumb, to wake you up. Number two, if we're gonna accomplish something great with very, very little limited resources, there needs to be constructive insight into our limitations. Jesus said, where are we going to buy bread that we may eat, that they may eat? Verse 6. And this he said to prove them, for he knew what he would do. And then in verse 7, Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them might take a little. Now, Jesus knew what he was going to do, okay? But he asked them the question because he wanted to see how they reacted. He wanted them to learn something here. The word prove, this to prove him, it means to see if he thought this thing could be done. He's like, all right, let me check and see if you guys really think I can do this. He wanted them to understand the limitations. And they look at their resources, and they look at the crowd, and they're like, this isn't enough. It's not going to happen. It is good for us sometimes to understand that we are limited. We are. You and I are limited. Let me just say this. We don't have the power to even win somebody to the Lord. Okay? What does it say in Romans? That the gospel is the power of salvation. You know, sometimes I think we're trying to be salesmen when we're winning people to the Lord. Now, let me say this. I think we ought to be persuasive. They said about the disciples in Acts, like, man, they're kind of pestilous. They're just kind of at that, and they're persistent at what they're doing. And I think we ought to be persistent. But you got to understand something. If somebody gets saved, it's not because you were able to coerce them into getting saved. It's because you shared the gospel with the right motive and with the right spirit, and the Spirit of God convicted their heart, and they understood their need for Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel does. It's not what we do. By the way, if you want to do anything for God, sometimes you're like, man, would God ever use me? I don't think I could do that. You're in a good spot. You're in a bad spot when it's like, I got this covered. Man, we're going to go. And I understand. Let's go win the world to Christ. Okay, as long as we understand who's doing the winning. Okay, we are limited. Until we know that, we're never going to realize the strength that God has. We're never going to see him do anything if we think we can. You know, I wonder if God sometimes like, fine, you want to do it yourself? Go ahead. See how that works for you. We have to understand our limitations. That's why he asked him. He wanted to see where they were at. And when he got to the point where they're saying, you know what? We don't have what we need. Jesus said, now I'm going to show you something. Now, whenever you go out, if someone gets saved, it ought to amaze you. If it's just like, ho-hum, that was a big deal. Let me ask you, was it a big deal the day you got saved? I mean, I understand it to this day. That was life-altering. That was eternity-altering. And I remember it to this day. And I know you don't base your salvation on feelings. I understand that. But you know, Brother Machado, because I really understood it, and it was something I had wrestled with for a while, when I went home to our apartment that Sunday, and I got there, I felt good. I'm like, I got it. I understood it. Now, I didn't understand everything else that came after that, and I kind of got messed up for a little bit, but I felt good. I'm saved. Do you understand when you talk to someone and they get saved, that's what just happened to them? It's a big deal. But we need to understand that that only happens because God intervenes on our behalf. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But we need to understand our limitations if we're going to see his strength. Next, I want you to see a corrosive, immobilizing discouragement. Look at verse 8. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Now, if he'd have stopped there, it would have been good. But listen to what he says. But what are they among so many? It's almost like he's bringing them, say, let me show you what we got. It's not much. Okay? You want to feed this crowd? We couldn't go buy food if we wanted. We wouldn't have enough money to buy food for him even if we wanted to. He goes, here's this kid. This is all he has. And what is that? You can almost sense the discouragement there. Like, this is going nowhere. Discouragement immobilizes us. It keeps us from going forward. We get discouraged. Like, nothing's happening. Nothing good's going to happen. By the way, in a church setting, in a spiritual setting, you're never going to have everything you need. You know, I'll be honest with you. I've been waiting, Brother Machado. I've been waiting for a long time. I wish someone would come and just give us $1 million. I get tired of hearing other churches getting that. And they tell you because they want you to jump up and down and say, hallelujah. I don't want to jump up and down. I want to say, why did you get it and not us? But I think that. Okay. And I'm happy for them. You know, we went to Brother Trevers a couple years ago, my wife, and they're on Sunday night before the pastor's conference, and the service was wonderful. And afterwards, you know, he's getting ready to dismiss, and like, hey, turn the internet off, because he goes, hey, someone just gave us $900,000. I'm like, really? I'm edified. You know, I feel Rush Limbaugh just sent us money. I'm like, I'm not going to listen to his show ever again. But you know, okay, that's where we're at. And by the way, maybe God doesn't want it. Now, if the Lord's thinking, Lord, if you hear this, if you're thinking about giving us money, I'll be spiritual about it, so don't. But maybe the Lord's not giving us money because he doesn't want us to sit back and say, we got all the money in the bank we need. Because maybe we wouldn't trust in him. Man, I'm excited because we might get, and I've told you to pray about it, we might get a loan refinance that would cut 25% off of our loan. That's a lot of money. But if I had my way, I'd rather someone just pay it off for us. Amen? But that's not, listen, I can't look at, you know, you go somewhere, it's like, hey, look what I went to a church and they're like, you know, we remodeled our building. And they showed me the building. They said, we remodeled it. It was beautiful. And they said, you know, we didn't have enough money to do all this part. It was half of the building. He said, but you know what happened? There was a flood up the street. And the water came and all of the remodeling we done was ruined. And when we got the insurance money, it was enough to redo what was ruined plus what we didn't get to do. And I'm like, I hate you. That doesn't happen to us. One day it will. But if it doesn't, listen, let's not worry about what we don't have. Let's just worry about what we do have. By the way, I know churches that have really nice facilities, and maybe God's not allowing them to reach as many in their community. I'd rather meet in a trash dump and have people coming to church and getting saved. Not saying that. I'd rather have a nice building and people get saved, and we're going to get there. We're going to get there. But you know, it's more important that we just trust God. It's more important that we just say, let's not get discouraged about what we don't have. I mean, they had a lot of things they could have been discouraged about. What about the motives of the people that were there? They weren't there because they're like, I just want to worship Jesus. They're like, he's doing miracles. I want to check this out. By the way, what happened at the end of John chapter 6? A lot of people that followed him bailed out on him. Okay? They could have been discouraged about the fact they did not have enough. And the project, that's pretty big to feed all those people with that little provisions. Don't get discouraged. Just keep going forward. And then lastly, we have to have the common ingredients of success. Jesus gives them a recipe to accomplish. Jesus didn't just say, you know what, I'm just gonna raise my spiritual finger and all of a sudden, you know, a Happy Meal is gonna fall from the sky. No, he used what they had and he stretched it out. Did you notice that? He didn't say, you know what, I got a truckload of stuff. Hey, let's sit down outside there on the patio, sit down. He didn't say, I got a whole new truck of stuff coming in here. You think we only have this. He says, no, well, let's take what we have and let's make it work. How does that happen? We just do our part. What was the part? Now, he was discouraged, I think, a little bit in the task, but he did say, here's what we have. You know, it's funny how everybody's going to give the church $1 million when they win the lotto. You have a better chance of getting struck by lightning. Okay? You know, God doesn't want the $1 million you're never going to win, but he'll take whatever you can give him that you have now. And if you won't give God a penny out of the money you have now, you're not going to give him money if you win the lotto anyhow. Okay, that didn't go over very well. A lotto is for people that are bad at math. That's really what it is. Let's just do our part. Look, I wish we had millionaires in the church. I wish we had hundredaires, okay? I'd take thousands, whatever. But you know what? If we all just do our part, I believe God will step up and do the rest. But if we're not willing to do our part, why would God be willing to step up and make up the difference? And I'm not talking money here. We're talking about reaching the world. Let's do our part. There's thousands. We'll never reach the city of Long Beach, but maybe you can win one this week. Maybe you can win 2 or 3 or 4, 10, 20 this year. You can make a difference in their lives. Let's do our part. And then he gave them a plan. Jesus said, look, let's just take the bread and let's just rip in pieces and throw it. Hey, make them sit down and do this. Everybody was sitting orderly and let's pass this out a correct way. By the way, God has given us a plan. The plan is the Great Commission. Let's go out and win people to the Lord. Let's get them to church. Let's get them baptized. Let's grow them in the faith so that they can go out and reach this world. And understanding that he is with us always as we do it. Let's follow his plan. We're always trying to improve upon his plan, aren't we? Let's have rock concerts and we'll get a bunch of people here and you know, we'll kind of give them a sugared down gospel and maybe they'll get saved. Garbage. You don't need to use some. Some stupid thing up here? You ladies in grass skirts, okay? Raul in a grass skirt. We won't need a new building, amen. We have plenty of room. No, let's do some. You know, we don't need that. You know what we need? We need to just follow God's plan. Let's have church. Let's honor him. Let's preach the word and let's get the gospel out. No, well, that's offensive. You know, that's confrontational evangelism. Like I'm tackling somebody. You're going to get this track whether you want it or not. No, it's sharing the gospel one-on-one. Follow the plan. Use the resources he's given us. Jesus tells us we can get the gospel out. We can accomplish everything that he requires of us if we'll just do what he tells us to do. Let's quit looking at the bigness of the task, and let's start getting it in bite-sized chunks. So how are we going to reach? You know, you sent me the story of the Brother Gray, right? Brother Pichardo sent me a story, and I read it this week. I think Brother Gray was out soul winning. I think they just left a track somewhere. They just left this track somewhere, and I don't understand all the details. But what happened is this guy grabs this track. Brother Gray didn't even know about it till later. Through the track, this young man got saved, was called to the mission field, and on the mission field started 50 or 60 churches, some ridiculous amount of churches. He didn't even know about it. He just left a track somewhere. You know, God can use our efforts. God sometimes can do more. You know, I wonder, the person that preached the gospel to Pastor Esposito doesn't even know who he is. It was up here on South and Cherry. It used to be Luall Gardens. We hung out there. There was a guy street preaching right there. He listened. He got saved. That was it. The guy never heard from him again. I bet you he's going to be shocked when he gets to heaven to see what he did. I wonder if there's people I passed out that track and we went today and we didn't see anybody saved. You don't know the whole story. You don't know the whole story. Because we're only required to do our part. And if we do our part, we can accomplish far more than we ever thought we could. But it doesn't happen if we don't do our part. Let's stand together this evening.